Let's just pray. Father, I haven't got a clue. Well, I do know, I have a clue where I'm going this morning, Lord. But Father, I just ask whatever I say will be an anointed one, anointed word, Father God, that your anointing will come upon what I have to say, Father, and upon us all who hear, including myself as I speak, Father. Let me hear what you're saying through me, Father God. So, Lord, I just give this over to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Hello. I've got two things to do, two things to say today. I'm still not sure which way to go. So I better go and do what I planned initially and then run with it as it goes. And let me just turn that on. Hang on. That's better. Yeah. It's a bit loud. Of the technology. Right. Over the last few weeks, we've been going through ethos and values of New Wine. And they've been, you know, and I've been trying to highlight what our values are as the church. So we've gone through the various things that we've gone through, which is, our values. And our values have been, firstly, that God loves you, that God isn't angry with you. That was our main value. That when you get saved, salvation brings some identity. When you are saved, you become somebody. You become somebody different. You know, I liked the teaching from Bethel on Thursday night. You know, where we have our old man. You know, the old man of you, who you are, and Chris Varson said, don't counsel the old man. Don't try and change the old man. Kill him. And he said, we're good at getting rid of the old man because we drown him. Drown him, do you understand it? Baptism. We drown the old man. We take those things that we hold, we that keep messing our lives up, and we're supposed to kill them. Because they're dead. Because that's what the Bible says, they're dead. And we talked about values, and last week we did grace. And grace was such a big thing. And we covered grace is the key thing to growing as a Christian. It's understanding that God loves you. Nothing you've done makes a difference. It really doesn't. It's just a free gift that you take. And I talked about religion, and I go on about religion because I believe religion in its empty form is the very opposite of actually Christianity. You know, religion is what we do with what we our faith, and then we like the box, and we do the box, and we paint the box, and we do the whole thing. And anyhow, today I'm going to do presence, God's presence. And I remember going back some time ago with the Bethel teaching, and there was a period about. Helen, when was it? About 2 years ago, when the sparkly thing came in the auditorium. Yeah, there was a period of quite a few months, 3 months I think it was, where God's presence appeared to in Bethel. Sometimes in the overflow room, sometimes in the main room, and it was a sparkly sort of ball type thing that happened. They didn't highlight it too much, but we've seen it. We saw it not long after it happened. You know, and they were stopped. And everyone ended up worshiping in God's holiness. It was an amazing thing. Bethel didn't emphasize it because they didn't want to make a big thing of it. It was God teaching them something. And I know Bill Johnson stood up and said that for years we've actually sat around the Word of God. We've used the Word of God as what we do, and we've highlighted the Word of God. And actually, the Israelites sat around the presence of God. It is actually about the presence of God, God's presence. And the more I go into this, the more I realize, from my perspective, presence is, hey, if God's presence turns up on a Sunday, fantastic. You know, if nothing else works, if God's presence is here, it's awesome. It really is. You know it, you know. And when God's presence hasn't been sensed, you know, it's like flat. Yeah. We've had them. We've had flat services, haven't we? You know, and you sort of panic. Oh, you know, why, Lord? But God's presence is here. And I know he's here. But it's more than just worship. It's more than just a worship service. It's the presence is actually about walking with the Lord and having his presence with you. And it's not just about the worship on a Sunday. It's about when you speak to somebody about the Lord. You know, when you know this is the time when you have to say something. You've all done it. You know, that conversation which starts to flow. And you go, you get all excited because God's in it. And God's brought this situation about. And you are quietly praying to God, Lord, give me the words to say. And tell me to shut up when you need me to shut up. Because that's God's presence as well. And when we pray for people, I remember going back years ago now, in the early days of training under sort of John Wimber, you know, in his ministry in Vineyard. The whole model of praying was, John Wimber sort of revolutionized some of the way we prayed for people. Because, you know, he would get on and say, you know, he'd be drinking his coffee, you know, and it was, oh, Lord, come, you know, and he'd pray and he'd be drinking his coffee and looking around. And it was because he trusted God's presence to be doing the stuff, be doing the healing, be doing whatever's required. And he said, your job was to track what the Holy Spirit is doing. That's presence. Yeah. It's no different. And actually, this whole idea of presence is in all the things that we do as Christians is terribly important. It is looking up to him in whatever we do, in all our life. In all our walking and doing and enjoying ourselves, all of those things, without the religious box. It is about God's presence. Because actually, that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. We focus on his presence because we've discovered he's focused on us. Because he is. You know, this whole thing about people knowing that they are loved, knowing that God really loves them is the most essential thing. It is all about love again. I was reading it in my daily readings this morning in Colossians 4, I think it was. You know, it is all about love. It is all about his love being in you and you being in love. It is about that. And it said in Ephesians 1, for he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And in love, he predestined us. He selected us. He chose us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. And it said in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. And he says that God will rejoice over you with singing. He's a God who wants you to be. He focuses on you. You see, the devil will tell you, hey, he's not focused on you because he's got so many more important things to do. Like God only has to do one thing at once. This is the creator of the universe who can create, who can look at every single molecule in the universe individually. Because he's God. That's what makes God so awesome. He can see every single detail of your life and he cares about every single detail about you in your life. He really does. And it's knowing that you are loved and looked at and wanted by God which makes you want to respond to his presence. In Jeremiah 3 it says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness. Our first ministry is to God. So when we recognize him, we move to worship him with joyous passion. It says in Psalm 27, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. In Luke 10:42, at Bethany, when when Jesus talks about Mary and Martha, and Martha gets annoyed about Mary sort of sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, Mary, you've chosen better. To sit at God's feet is a better, is a best, the best thing to be. The presence of God. James 4, it says, come near to God and he'll come near to you. You know, there's this coming near to him. He's there already, but it's to come near to him. In our private times, but also not just in religious box times. Religious box times is the wrong word, but you know what I mean. It has to be an all the time thing. Because when it becomes an all the time thing, it becomes real. Now, it's not always easy to get all the time things. We get it wrong. I get it wrong all the time. I was, it's funny. This morning, I lose things, as Arlene knows. I lose things. And I'd spent some time this morning, I was up reasonably early looking at my, and it was all on my iPad, this little thing here. And Arlene went off to get somebody, to pick somebody up, and I was looking for my iPad, I put it down. I spent 20 minutes looking for the iPad. I knew it was here. And I was singing and worshipping, and I was, you know, I was pretty sort of okay for the first 10 minutes. And I was trying, and I said, Lord, you know, you'll find it and all this stuff. And there was a bit where I get a little bit panicky when I can't find something and it's needing to be done. And I was getting really quite panicky. And I shouted in the living room, I said, God, I need this, you know. And then I immediately started to forgive me, Lord. But I also immediately found it, which is good. And it was just in front of me. It was actually on the training board, sat there, as clear as day. I'd walked through that room loads of times, looking, not finding it. We get it wrong. It's fine. As I was saying, as we focus on God as we minister. And we need to hear what God is saying. And Jesus did it as well. You know, in John 5, he said, truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. And he says in John 5:30, by myself I can do nothing. You know, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is God himself come to earth. He said, I can't do nothing unless I hear God. Because you see, he's fully man, and he's being fully man, demonstrating to us that this is how you do it. You need to be hearing from him. You need to have this anointing. You need to have this presence. You need to have the faith to know it. And that's my other bit coming out. Because faith. Presence and faith. Yeah, this is a biggie, faith. Because faith is so important in our Christian walk. It really is. Faith sometimes looks risky. But it should never feel risky. What do I mean by that? Well, I remember teaching on faith many years ago and teaching something that John Wimber used to teach. That faith is spelt, you've heard it, R-I-S-K. Hands up who heard that before? I know a few of you have. It's wrong. It's wrong. People might think it's risky. While walking in faith might look risky to those around you, it should never feel risky to you. Why do I say that? Because if faith feels risky, it's not faith, it's doubt. It's true. If it feels risky, it's doubt. This is the quandary now. Doubt and faith. Faith and doubt. So how do we work this out? If you look at what the word doubt means in the Bible, in the Greek it means to have two ways of thinking. Which is what we do. God will be with me. Well, God might not be with me. God will find the iPad. God might not find the iPad. You know, you begin to have both.
Bit of anxiety.
And it becomes, anxiety is good, yeah. Faith is simply to accept what God is saying. Now, that's important. Faith is simply to accept what God is saying. If we've heard from God that this is going to work, there is no risk to it, because God has spoken. Okay. Now, some people have had God audibly say something. I've said this story before. Mike Moore, a friend of mine. You know, God audibly spoke to him and said, "I want you to do something." And and when he was saying, "Oh, will it work?" Well, hang on. God's spoken audibly to you. This is a pretty good thing. You actually trust that because God's spoken. And when God has done things in your life, you know it's right. You know it's right. It's when you're not sure if God has spoken that it becomes a bit of a problem. Because doubting's normal. Doubting is normal, but it's understanding what is doubt and what is faith. Don't ever pretend. I remember people saying, they're healed, and actually they're obviously not healed. And there's this, I'm going to believe they're healed. Well, that's true if you are believing they're healed, as opposed to having doubts that you're healed. It's. Let's not pretend doubt and faith are the same thing. They're not. They're real. We will have doubts sometimes when you're going for something that you feel God has said. It's normal to have the doubts. But it's understanding that doubt and faith are different things. Now, when you understand that faith and doubt are different things, you can go before God and say, I've got some problems with this. Because I think I've heard you, but I need to hear you again. I need to have the reassurance that this is okay. And that's right, because it's the right way of dealing with it. Not pretending that doubt and faith are the same, which they're not. The important thing is to recognize the doubt. And in doing so, the doubt loses its power as we consciously remind ourselves what is true and what is not. What is from God and what is from us. You're not called to grow your faith. Another thing. You're not called to grow your faith. Because faith is a gift. Ooh, I didn't know that. Ooh, I've got a problem with that. I love this. Faith isn't something you're required to grow. In fact, it's something you're only required to have. Faith was never yours to begin with. It's a gift from God. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the author and our perfecter of our faith. God is where faith comes from, and not only that, God is the one who grows it. God grows our faith. It says in Ephesians 2, I love this bit. I love Ephesians, it's good. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Faith is a gift that God gives you. We've got to understand faith is something that comes from God. We're not able to drum it up ourselves. I'm going to have more faith. No, you're not. You've just got a whole lot of doubt, which you're calling faith. Do you see what I'm coming from here? I'm not trying to say, in the real world, we're all going to have doubts. It's not an easy world. It's not always easy to trust God for something. I trusted him for the iPad. I believed it. And it wasn't until I shouted at him and I asked him to forgive me that he sorted it out for me. It's a lesson that he uses. Faith comes from something that comes from God. We're not able to drum it up ourselves. We're not able to perfect it ourselves, because faith is simply to agree with what God says. That's why Paul tells the Romans that faith comes from hearing the word of God. When God speaks, we receive faith. God has literally spoken it into existence. If God says something, it's happened. It's done. It's a completed work. You are a new creation. You might not feel it's a new creation, but you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You are a new creation. That's what God's spoken into. Except we live in the trust of the other thing. Oh, well, really, I'm just a makeover job. Yeah. Our only job is to hold on to it and not let go. And God gives it to us. Just as a side note here, faith comes from hearing the word of God, okay? In this context, hearing the word of God doesn't necessarily mean a preacher standing up and giving you a Bible verse, okay? Because actually what it means is hearing from God himself. We've added the bit in our theology that it's the Bible that does it. That as long as people hear the Bible, that's all they need to hear. And actually, doing that, and you end up in a religious box, or you can do, because you then all you do is trust in a whole load of words as opposed to trust in God himself. And there is a difference. In this, if you go with the right heart and everything else, God will speak. And when you hear God, it's God speaking because he speaks through the word of God. But there's a difference. This is the word of God. It's hard. You get into real difficulty, doesn't you? You know what I mean? God is God. This is the menu, not the meal bit. It's frustrated with that sometimes. Because people can believe in the Bible and not have a relationship with the living God. Because you need a relationship with the living God who's real, who's there all the time. And finally, faith is not a work. Now, Martin Luther led the way to reform in the church in the 1500s, and his primary message was that we're not saved by works, but by grace through faith. It was a wonderful truth. But the trouble is with us, we like things to work on. Okay? We're not very good at relaxing in God and letting God do his stuff. We want to make it happen. And so we want to make faith into a work. So we do things to grow our faith, don't we? You do. I've done it. Now, in the old days, people used to go on pilgrimages and have indulgences. Now, we've got rid of all of that stuff in the Protestant church anyhow. But we still work to do faith things. Sometimes we jet off to other places so that I can grow as a Christian, grow as my faith. And sometimes preachers will teach you, yeah, you've got to read the word of God, spend 30 minutes praying, read the word of God, you'll grow your faith. You won't grow your faith. Sorry, you might grow your faith, but not the reasons for doing it grows your faith. Your faith grows because if I stand hours reading the word of God, I'll come in contact with the God who speaks to me through the word of God, and then my faith grows. It's not necessarily one or the other. It's letting him do the talking. If I go to somewhere where there's a great anointing or something happening, okay, I can't work at making my faith grow. But while I'm there, I might encounter the living God who might speak to me in such a way that my faith will grow. Does that make any sense? You're going to change church every week. You can do all the house groups and all of this stuff. Tick all the boxes. But you're not going to grow your faith. You might grow your faith because while you're there, you might learn something and God might speak to you. But it's not because of what you do that makes your faith grow. It's because God chooses to be there and speak to you and spend time and touch your life. That's what grows your faith. Everybody has works, but not everyone has faith. The type of works that James is looking for comes from pure faith. Let's focus on our faith. Let's not turn it into a work, but rather receive it as a gift as we hear God speak through us. Now, there's a difference between knowing and believing. In 1 John 4:16, it says, "We know and believe that God loves us." Isn't it interesting that actually John separates knowing and believing? And there is a big difference between knowing and believing. You know, I'm pretty confident that I know God loves me. But do I believe God loves me? There might be a difference. You might know something, but do I really believe it? There's times probably I don't believe it as much as I would have, you know, they should be the same thing, but they're not necessarily the same thing. You know, I believe that God would help me find my iPad this morning, to start with. But my believing and my knowing and believing, my knowing stayed the same. I knew he'd find it. My believing went down. You know, my believing was down here. My knowing was fine. I know God loves me. It's a done deal. But there's times I feel that God, I don't feel the feeling of love sometimes. Believing and loving, believing and knowing are two different things. The degree to which I know and the degree to which I believe are sometimes different. I usually find that I already know what's true, I just don't believe it. You know, I believe the word of God. But there's times when I know the word of God, and whatever God said. I know that's true. God said it. His word's there. Hey, I've heard it. But do I believe it? Sometimes not. It's recognizing we have a gap. Knowing that we have a gap. And being realistic about that gap. And asking God to sort that out. Faith is a gift from God that comes solely by hearing his voice. And it's important to be able to highlight the difference between what we know and what we believe. Sometimes we don't even know what's true. They're a bit more challenging. Because then they may be a little bit more frequent than we'd like to admit. But they're also some of the favorite times. Because when we don't know, we have to seek God to find out. And when we seek God, we hear what he says. And that's why we don't know the answer to this. So we get out the word of God. We spend time in prayer. We worship him. And we try to hear what God is saying. I've done two completely separate things. I haven't. They're not separate. Because presence and faith are actually intertwined. Let's pray. Father, I've just introduced us to faith, and Father, our faith is sometimes pretty rubbish. We maybe believe, but we don't necessarily trust and believe in you, believe in what you say. Father God, you know the gaps we have between our believing and our knowing. And Father, I just ask you, Lord, that you will knit those together, bring us closer to you. Let us trust you and have the faith to hear when we hear your voice. And Lord, where there are people here who don't hear his voice, Father God, I just ask you, Lord, that all of us here will hear him. We'll hear him in the ways that you see him. Hear you in the things that you say and do. In all the things, the ways you do speak to us, Lord. Father, we just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God.